Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here's What We Teach at the Law School right after this. Well, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Code, and how many laws has our government given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, the state, at last count, has given us 2.5 million laws. Now, the Apostle Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men. You'll find that in Acts 5, verse 29. Our Congress has said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and society. And our Supreme Court said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, every authority is in agreement. The Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself are all in agreement that the Scriptures are the final authority on law. Now, to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights is a right, it's a duty, it's an obligation that we all owe to ourselves, our families, and to our society. And here at the law school, we teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties for the violation of these laws twice a year. So why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? You know, the First Amendment is the gateway to the Second and to your whole Bill of Rights. Now, the law of God may be old, but it is not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives and very relevant to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Then click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, here's what we teach at the law school. We've been going through the various courses or the various schools. I teach eight schools here. We took a look at tax and status first, business second, and then courtroom strategy and procedure third. The fourth school that we recommend in this order is the Mosaic Law and the Doctrines. It's a two-part program. It takes 2 weeks here at the law school. The first half of it is called the Mosaic Law class, and it zeroes in on the Ten Commandments, which is the fundamental law of the universe. God Almighty runs the entire universe on these Ten Commandments and 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And as I mentioned in the opening, here in the United States, the state so far has given us 2.5 million laws, 2.5 million versus 759. Here's another kicker. Just take the traffic code of your state, any state in the United States, and you could probably extrapolate this into any country in the world. But here in the United States, every state has more than 2,000 traffic statutes. That's just to regulate driving your car up and down the street. 2,000 statutes. God runs the whole damn universe on less than 1,000. Now, there's something wrong here. Why does it take so many of these laws, rules, regulations, customs, usages, and practices to run our civil society? We seem to be a nation, and indeed a world, bent on law, rules, and regulations to govern and direct the activities of everybody and everything to a degree that human beings are no longer able to use their common sense to decide, well, what's right and what's wrong. Now, one of the fundamental laws here in Scripture is, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So it's fairly simple to say, if we could train you to ask yourself this question each and every time you're about to do an act, would I want somebody to do that to me? See how simple that is? If the answer to that is, yes, I would want somebody to do that to me, then you should do that to others. If the answer is, no, sir, I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me, well, then you ought not to do it to somebody else. That's about as simple and straightforward a modality for determining right and wrong as you can get at. And if everyone were taught just that one principle over there, we'd solve about 90% of our crime problem. Would you want somebody to do that to you? And then if the answer to that is no, I wouldn't, well, then let your actions govern your conduct. All right, now let's take a look here at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments cover four areas: rights, duties, capacities, and responsibilities. We have certain rights, we have certain duties, we have certain capacities, and we have certain responsibilities. And they're spelled out here in the Ten Commandments, and here's what they are. There are social duties, educational duties, moral duties, and legal responsibilities. Health responsibilities, and then we have property rights and business rights, and then we have economic, political, and monetary capacity. Now, under the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, they're divided up exactly the same way. Under the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, you have certain social, educational, and moral duties. You have certain legal and health responsibilities. You have certain business rights and property rights. And then you have economic, political, and monetary capacity. But between these two modalities or modicums of law, they're exactly 180 degrees apart from one another. The Ten Commandments is governed by the eighth, which says, thou shalt not steal. The opposite to that is the first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which says that it calls for the abolition of all right to property. Thou shalt not steal establishes your property rights. And the first plank to the Communist Manifesto bars you from having any property rights. Exact opposites. Each one of these commandments and each one of these planks are exact opposites to one another. Well, it makes all the sense in the world. One comes from the creator of the universe, and the other comes from Satan the devil, Satan the adversary. They're exactly polar opposites. God tells you, let's establish property rights, and Satan comes along and says, no, let's not have any property rights. God says, don't have unjust weights and balances, let's use gold and silver. Satan comes along and says, no, let's not use gold and silver. Let's use paper money and stocks and bonds. God says, I want you to pay me a tithe. Satan says, no, I want you to pay an income tax. So as we go through these two modicums over here, we find that historically, when we practice the Ten Commandment model, it has a result. And here in the United States, and indeed in most of the Western Anglo-Saxon countries, such as Australia and New Zealand, Canada, Iceland, and Western European countries, you know, France and Germany and England and Ireland and Scotland, Denmark, Finland, Norway, Sweden, Liechtenstein, and Luxembourg, Belgium, Holland. Just take a look at South Africa and Rhodesia, you know, when the Anglo-Saxon law was applied there, what did you have? You had wealth, prosperity, individual rights, first world industrial nations. Taking a look at Rhodesia, when the white Anglo-Saxons were in control of Rhodesia, it was a first world industrial nation with food surpluses and exports and a dollar in 1980 that was equivalent to the U.S. dollar. A change was made, and they adopted the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, threw the whites out, and they've adopted communism. Now, here's what the results are. Their money is worthless. They're no longer a first world industrial nation. And the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto are in full force and effect, and the country has degenerated into poverty. It's a failed state. So right away somebody's going to say, well, we don't like whites. Well, okay, you blacks could practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and get the same results. The problem is that if you don't practice these 10 planks, well, the only other opportunity, the only other alternative that you have is the 10 plank, or the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, which was called in ancient times the Babylonian mystery religion. Today, we call it fascism, socialism, Nazism, or capitalism. Now, right away, somebody here in the United States is going to say, but we're the good guys in white hats, and we're practicing capitalism. Capitalism is just another name for the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Take a look at AIG, Wall Street, and the rape that's going on with paper money, stocks, and bonds. Take a look at your 401ks and your Krog plans over there. In the last 16 months, you have witnessed, you have watched half of your wealth just evaporate. All of your stocks and bonds are just turning to smoke, which is exactly what happens. Each and every time this has ever been tried in the past, we've always gotten the same results. Now, in the scripture, you're admonished. You are intoned to educate your children and educate them to these 10 commandments. The state, on the other hand, comes to you and says, no, no, you should send your kids to public school. And we want a separation of church and state. We don't want to teach your children anything about these 10 planks. Well, here in the United States, we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. The world's number one superpower. Remember that? And now we're in decline, like the old Roman Empire. We are deteriorating. We're on the verge of economic collapse, and then that'll be followed by political collapse. And then that'll be followed by a military occupation. That's what happens to nations that don't practice the Ten Commandments. Now, the time is right then for us to make a choice here. And the reason that we do this here at the law school is that, for instance, in the United States, at the Harvard Law School, as recently as 1942, which isn't all that long ago, it's within my lifetime, when an incoming student came into the Harvard Law School, he started his education, he started his legal education at Harvard Law School now, with two books, the Book of Hebrews and the Book of, or the Gospel of John, out of the Hebrew Scriptures. Not anymore. Of course, that's old hat, and I don't deny it, but that's what we used to do. Here in the United States, we used to train and teach our children to read from the Bible. As recently as 1946 to 1950, the Gospel of John was a fundamental text in the public school system of Dallas, Texas. Not anymore. I hear you. Now take a look at where we are today, or where we're at, and then take a look at where we were, and then ask yourself, well, which system has produced the best results? And if you think that communism produces the best results, stick with it. Get with the program, and if a little bit's good, twice as much has got to be twice as good. Now, if on the other hand, you look out there and you say, well, you know, we were better off, I think, under the Ten Commandments. We were doing better. As a nation lending to everybody in the world instead of borrowing from everybody in the world, seems like that was a better position to be in. And you can run through the program here and you can see for yourself and then make your choice. Now, if you are of a mind to, and you say to yourself, well, I think maybe that Ten Commandment model maybe isn't as bad as I thought it was, well, then there's one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the whole thing, and in alphabetical order. So turning over here to the table of contents, the very first law in the Scripture in alphabetical order is the law that regulates or governs the Aaronic priesthood. There are actually two priesthoods. So over here under L, we have the Levitical priesthood in chapter 73. Now, I have 133 chapters here in the book. And it's a 3-inch binder. I imagine it's got, 700 pages, I would guess. I suppose if I looked it up on Kinko's, they'd tell me how many there is, but I'd say about 700, maybe 800 pages here in alphabetical order. Let me give you a little flavor of it. Under C, it deals with cattle, the census, childbirth, circumcision, city of refuge, clean meats, clothing, the congregation of God, copulation, covenant statutes, coveting, credit, and cutting your flesh. They're in alphabetical order so that if a subject matter comes up in your mind and you're saying to yourself, well, what about the sacrificial law? All right. How many sacrifices are there in the sacrificial law? And it's already code pled out for you. You don't have to spend a lot of time code pleading it. It's right here in front of you. I'm flipping over here now to chapter 93. And I'll show you a little something here about these offerings. There's 11 of them. 11 of these sacrifices or offerings. I'm going to flip over here and tell you what the 11 are, and then I'll take a second here, and I'll show you a little something here about the Apostle Paul and about how his sacrificial life went. There are burnt offerings, drink offerings, freewill offerings, heave offerings, jealousy offerings, meat offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, thanksgiving offerings, trespass offerings, and wave offerings. That's 11. They're not sacrifices at all. They're called offerings. So, just for your information, next time somebody says, oh, that's that old sacrificial system, you know, well, it's not. It's a system of offerings. Now, in chapter 93, it deals with thanksgiving offerings, and you've heard it said that this sacrificial system has been nailed to the cross with Jesus and taken out of the way, and we don't have to do that anymore. All right, let's think about that one for a second. Maybe that's true, but how do you know that is? How do you come to that conclusion? Well, that's what my church teaches. Well, have you ever looked at your church's doctrines and teachings over there and then compared those with the Scripture to find out if your church teaches what the Bible teaches or the teachings there in your church or the doctrines of men? I mean, that's a choice for you to make. Most people let their church, let the Pope, let the preacher, the priest make their decisions for them, but If you wanted to know for yourself so that you just had the satisfaction of knowing that this is what I've researched out, then let's do it this way. Jesus was born, he lived, and he died. And the theory is that when he died, he was the sacrifice which absolves and replaces all the other sacrifices. All right? That's the theory that everybody's being taught here in Christendom. Now, when we look at the thanksgiving offerings over here in Acts 24, verse 17, here's the Apostle Paul saying, now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. the Apostle Paul went into the temple and he brought alms, that is, he brought his tithes, and he brought his offerings, that is, his burnt offerings, his thanksgiving offerings, his sacrifice, as you commonly call it, and he made it in the temple. Now, the temple was still in operation from the time Jesus died at about 31 A.D. until 70 A.D. So from 30 to 70 is 40 years, isn't it? Jesus died about 31, some people think 33, and the correct number is 31 A.D. Titus destroyed the temple in 70. The Apostle Paul was working after Jesus died. And it's obvious that Paul, the Apostle, did not know that the sacrificial system had been abolished because he was still doing it. Now, Jesus never made any sacrifices, and that's because he never sinned. And the purpose for these offerings now is for sin. That's what a sin offering is. All right, now there's one more. In Acts 21, verse 26, then Paul took men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until then an offering should be offered for every one of them. So Paul and these other men, more than likely, were the other apostles, went into the temple and made their sacrifices, made their offerings, burnt offerings. They took their little lammies in, cut their throats, spilled their blood, and burned their fat and blood on the altar for each and every one of them. Now, there's two examples after Jesus died. Now, where did you get the idea that the sacrificial system was nailed to the cross with Jesus? Because none of these men knew that. These are the early church fathers. They're still over here going into the temple, which is what the law required, starting with Deuteronomy 16, when God himself said that he was setting up a priesthood and that we were to follow it. Now, of course, today, Christians don't follow the priesthood, never have, and they don't now. And that's because Christianity, of and by itself, is just another one of the pagan religions. Right away, somebody's going to write me a letter and they're going to say, but America is a Christian nation. No, it isn't. The official religion of America is secular humanism. And some of the founding fathers were deists, like Thomas Jefferson. They weren't Christians. And all of them were Masons. Well, all but six. The 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 50 of them were Masons. So I just want to point that out. But historically, you know, a lot of the beliefs that we have simply aren't true. I mean, you know, it's cute and it's kind of nice to believe in them, and we've held to them and we believe it, but that doesn't make it true just because we believe it. Let's take a look at a couple of more. The idea that Jesus, for instance, had he made a statement that says, love thy neighbor. Remember that? And preachers are just constantly out here talking about love and faith, aren't they? I mean, if they didn't have love and faith, they wouldn't have anything to say on Sunday morning. Now, love and faith are important elements to the biblical message, and I'm not here to argue with that or to deny it. But the point is, it's not the only message in the Scripture. There's a couple of three other ideas that probably ought to at least get equal billing. And love your neighbor, here's one of them. Now, people will talk about this quite often, you know, in religious circles. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. It's a little story here. Listen to this little story. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him, that's Jesus, a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Let's zero in on this, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Where does that idea come from? And Christians say, well, it comes from Jesus. Did he originate that idea? Was he the first guy to funk that up? Most would say, yeah, it's right there in Matthew 22. No, that's a direct citation from the law of Moses. Now, here's the Mosaic law. In Leviticus 19, verse 18, it says, you shall not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Eternal. You shall love your neighbor as yourself is a direct citation from Leviticus 19:18. It's one of 435 direct citations in the New Testament from the Old. Now, you remember, when you went to church, your church told you the Old Testament's abolished, done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus, taken out of the way, and we don't have to worry about that thing anymore. Wait a minute. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What is love? Well, the definition of love in the Scripture is, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. It comes from the New Testament, 1 John 5:3. You Christians can read that. So when we take a look at the definition of love, love is the keeping of the commandments. Now, what did Jesus say about that? He says, you shall love the Eternal your God, love God. Got that? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. What is love? The keeping of the commandments. If you loved God, you'd keep His commandments. So if you're not keeping the commandments, you do not love God. See how simple that is? I mean, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar now to figure this out. Now, let me give you a little illustration here. If you're not loving God, well, then what's the opposite to loving God? Isn't it hating God? All right. Well, over here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, there's a statement in here. It's Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 11. Now listen to this. Here's God speaking here. He says, know therefore that the Eternal your God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. So you say, I love God. I have people that come here and they say, oh, don't you just love Jesus? Religious people, they say things like that. Don't you just love Jesus? Don't you love the Lord today? And then he goes on to say in verse 10, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. And He will not be slack to him that hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Okay, simple enough. If you love God, you keep His commandments. If you don't love God, then you practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And I point out that the Sabbath is one of those commandments, and Passover, and Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Days of Atonement, and things like that. All right, so there's the gist of the argument right there. You're either practicing the law of God or you're not. Here in America, we stopped. We used to, but now we stopped doing that. Now, as a result, we now have curses like Hurricane Katrina and drought in the West and an economic collapse. And then we have the Patriot Act and Homeland Security. And all of the people that are in government hate us. The people that are occupying the White House and the Congress hate you. And they are bent on destroying you. And if you haven't figured that out yet, you will. It won't be much longer, and you're going to figure that out. Oh, my God, I didn't think that my senator would do that. All right, well, he would. Your senator and your representative is a wicked, evil fellow. And he is bent on establishing this communist New World Order worldwide. So get ready for it. Get the Vaseline out here, boys and girls. You'll find out now who's your friends here in short order. All right, now that's the first half of the program. It's the Mosaic Law. It's an alphabetical order, has all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And it's not a religious book. We're not here trying to get you to give your heart to Jesus. You don't have to send me any money. You don't have to send any tithes. It's not a requirement at all. I'm not proselytizing, trying to get you to give up Catholicism. Not trying to get you to give up Judaism or anything else. But whether you're a Catholic, a Protestant, or a Jew, you have social duties, educational duties, moral duties, legal responsibilities, health responsibilities, property rights, business rights, economic, political, and monetary capacities. And they come from the Ten Commandment model. And then you have a choice. You can practice these social and economic and moral duties either under the modicum of the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, or you can do it under the modicum of the Ten Commandments. Choice is yours. God himself said, hey, I set before you today good and evil. Now choose. What do you want to do? Make up your mind here. All right, there's the first half. Now, the second half deals with doctrines. I just covered a series here on doctrines here just a week or two ago. And there are 90 that I've sorted out, 90 common doctrines. We'll take a look at some of these common doctrines here from the perspective here of the Mosaic Law right after this. I've got to give you a reminder here if I can find my thingy. I think I can. My thingy here says that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, and we mean that. If you have a question, you can just pick up the telephone, give us a call, and say, hey, I heard him say on the radio the other day, and I'd like a little clarification on that, or could you tell me a little bit more? And oftentimes people call and they complain a little bit. They say, how come you don't put your prices on the Internet? How come you don't put more of this information on the Internet? You need to understand that we have to comply with the laws, rules, and regulations, the customs, usages, and practices with all 209 countries in the world. Did you know that? So we here at the law school, we have to practice all of the law of God, that 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. That's that's duty number one. But then there are laws here in our home state, Missouri, and I have to practice all the laws of Missouri. See, you people in Germany aren't concerned about our legal system here in Missouri, but I am. See, I'm not too concerned with the legal system over in Germany, but I'm cognizant of it, and I have to comply with that one too, because we have a lot of German listeners. So when Germany regulates and controls the internet, and France and communist China and the United States, then we have to comply, at least to this degree. First of all, we have to obey God and keep His commandments, as we see in Acts 5, verse 29. Second, I have to comply with and obey all the laws of the state of Missouri and then all the laws of the United States. Those are the three primary laws that we have to follow. If there's a conflict between the law of the United States and the law of God, we follow the law of God. And if the state decides that they want to intervene and prosecute me, they can do that. And then I have to come in and defend. I have to come in and say, well, the reason I'm doing that. See, if you're going to break a law, you have to have a reason why. If you're going to break the law, you got to have a reason why. So the reason I'm violating this law. Let's take the census, for instance. See, I don't participate in the census, and there's a law here in the United States. Next year, 2010, there's going to be a census, and I'm not going to participate in it. So I just want to tell you that up front. Now, here in the United States, and probably in your country also, when there's a conflict between the Scripture, that's the law of God, and the law of your country, there's a provision written into your Constitution or your statutes in Canada and Australia and so on. If not, it's in the United Nations Charter, the Declaration on Human Rights. So, you know, Buddhists in Thailand can practice their religious beliefs, and they're protected under the UN Charter. And so Christians are protected, and Confucianists and Shintoists and so on. And so if you knew and understood how to use the Scripture or the Charter on Human Rights of the United Nations or the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution or the rights, privileges, and immunities of your Constitution and the laws of your government, your state, you'd be amazed at what you can do. Now, in order to comply with, you know, all of the laws of Germany and around the world, we have twice during the program here, I got to tell you what this introduction is, and I got to tell you about our disclaimers, you know, the sources of information that we use, we believe, are true, accurate, and correct. And once in a while, they're not, and then we have to make a correction. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. Well, for instance, you know, some of this material is copyrighted. And you can't just run out here and take people's intellectual material and use it, you know, in most countries around the world, you know, without, you know, saying, well, I got this information from this book and I'm recommending this book or whatever, you know. So if we're doing it here, there's a reason why. Sometimes people call me and say, how come you don't have your prices on the internet? Well, we charge for our schools, and we charge in gold coin, just weights and balances, but we don't have the prices because in many places that's dealing in trade, commerce, business, and industry. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review is not involved in any trade, commerce, business, or industry, so we can't be advertising commercially here, so that's, you know, another reason why. But once you call me on the telephone, that's a private conversation. I don't talk to you. So if you want to know more, just call and ask. Now, second half of this Mosaic Law program deals with doctrinal issues. Let me give you a little flavor for these doctrinal things. They're not exactly laws. For instance, in the Bible, you won't find a law that says, thou shalt not celebrate thy birthday. But birthdays are prohibited by the Scripture. The Creator of the universe told you not to do that. And that's because birthdays are a part and parcel with witchcraft. And this witchcraft deals with observing times. Now, there are a number of things that you can do in witchcraft Let's just take a look here at, I haven't got the right book here for witchcraft, but there's 17 things that you can do that deal with witchcraft, such as necromancers and witches and warlocks and observing times, Ouija boards, you know, things like that. And we're told don't do that. That's simple enough. Halloween is an observance of witchcraft. We're told not to do that. In fact, the last time I saw a number on that, I think it's the number 2 economic holiday here in the United States. Christmas is number 1, and Halloween is number 2. So the merchants are very happy with Christmas and Halloween because they make a lot of money at it. And that's why they promote it. Now, Christmas is prohibited in the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 10. You can read about Christmas. And if I were to look up witchcraft here, I think it's be under W. It's in alphabetical order. Let's see what we've got here. Weekdays and the meaning of the names. Nope. I don't have witchcraft in here, but we have witchcraft over here in the Mosaic Law. Oh, I can pull that one out. Watch this. So I can cross-reference this. I'll pick up the Mosaic Law, and we'll take the law on witchcraft, which is going to be under W, way in the back of the book. So we flip it over here, clear to the back. Let's see if I can give you these 17 do's and don'ts concerning this doctrine of witches and witchcraft, which works into birthdays. Now, I'm not trying to get you to give up your birthday. If you want to celebrate your birthday, you get right after that, son. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But I just wanted to tell you that it's a part and parcel with witchcraft that deals with divination, witchcraft, observers of times, that's what birthdays are, enchantments, magicians, sorcerers, charmers, witches, wizards, familiar spirits, consulters with familiar spirits, which is called a medium, divine, divinity, enchanters, diviners, passing through the fire, necromancers, dreamers, firewalkers, Ouija boards, and Halloween. 20. You got 20 activities that you can engage in to practice witchcraft. Now, you're told don't do that. Now, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. So, when you're out here practicing one or more of these practices of witchcraft, remember that for this is the love of God that we keep His commandments. Now, if you loved God, you would not be practicing witchcraft in any of its 20 forms. I think that makes sense. Now, I'm not here to tell you shouldn't practice witchcraft. That's a choice that you have to make in life. Every one of us, when we get up in the morning, has to make choices. In fact, just getting out of bed in the morning is a choice. Should I get up this morning and go to work, or should I stay in bed and sleep in? Now, you make these choices, and then there are outcomes that come from those choices. Now, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty, and if there was, it wouldn't be a law. It would be a suggestion. And when God told you not to practice witches and witchcraft, He wasn't giving you a suggestion. He gave you a law, and there's a penalty that goes along with that. All right, now, if you violate these laws, then there are penalties that you have to pay. The loss of your money in your 401k, that's an outcome that comes from unjust weights and balances, an economic law. Now, there are about 15 of these economic laws here in the scripture. And if you violate one or more of those economic laws, poverty will be the result. A loss of some kind will be the result. There are 19 health laws. If you violate one or more of those health laws, it isn't going to impact upon you financially, at least directly, but it's going to impact upon you in your health. You know, you're smoking cigarettes. It's a choice that you have to make. Should I or should I not smoke? And so you go out and smoke, and then one day you come down with, cancer or emphysema or something like that. Okay, now that'll impact upon you economically. Now you have to go to the doctor. He costs a lot of money. Or you have to buy health insurance because of your activities. And so you're paying $12,000 a year, let's say, for health insurance. Well, let me show you something here. I don't have any insurance at all because that's limited liability, so I don't practice insurance. I save all of those premiums and I put that money over here in my coffee can. Meanwhile, I don't violate the 19 health laws, so I don't get sick. So I don't need health insurance. So that saves me $12,000 a year. There's an outcome that comes from it. You smoke, chase wild women, and drink, and just having a hell of a good time. And God love you, Tom. Go out there and have more fun. But Tom, there's an outcome that comes from that. I know it's a lot of fun this week and next month and next year, but you know, you're 30, but one of these days you're going to be 50. And when you get to be 50, you know, then all of these good times are going to come back and they're going to bite you in the butt. So, you know, it's a choice that you got to make. Get out there and make it. I made a lot of bad choices in my life and I paid the penalties. And there's no reason why you shouldn't pay the penalties just like I did. Now, my old daddy told me one time, he said, son, wake up here, smell a coffee. There's two ways to learn. You can learn from revelation. That's somebody else's experience. Or you can learn from experience. That's your experience. That's your education. And they said, now, the experience that you go through, when you experience this yourself, that's the best teacher. The best teacher is your own personal experience. And he told me he didn't deny that. But he said it's a God-awful, hard way to learn. Now, for most of you out there, it's the only way that you can learn. Experimentation is your cup of tea, and it's the thing you got to do. I got a daughter like that. God love her. There's nobody that loves a daughter like her daddy. And so you give your daughter, you give your sons advice. You say, son, here's what you should be doing. Here's the way you should handle it. And then he goes out and does the exact opposite. He gets a bad result. And you ask yourself, where did I go wrong? What did I fail to do to impress upon that child these duties and obligations that he's got? Well, there's a breakdown and a disconnect with the public school system. See, I sent my children to public school. That was a mistake. See, once they got into public school, they were exposed to the tree with the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And the old saying goes, how are you going to keep them down on the farm once they've been to Paris? Once they've seen Paris. You know, once this young fella's been to the whorehouse, boy, you know, it's darn hard, you know, to start teaching morality after he's been down to Flo's place. Not impossible, but, you know, it more than likely is going to be that after he gets AIDS, herpes, VD, crabs, or something like that, he'll wake up to VD and maybe that wasn't such a good idea. But again, you know, he had to learn the hard way, didn't he? He had to get a dose of clap before he could wake up to the realities of venereal disease. And sometimes it kills them. They're dead. You know, okay, well, it's not the end of the world. They'll come up in the second resurrection. How's that for a plan? Remember, you got three resurrections here. Now let's take a look at another one. It's called Quarantines, chapter 101 in the doctrine section. It's also a law, but let me give you an illustration here. Do you know what country in the world has the lowest incidence of AIDS or HIV infection? Think about this now for a second. Is it the United States with all of our vaunted medical technology? Is it England where they've got all that wonderful socialized medicine? Canada, you know, where Germany maybe? Okay, well, here's where it is. It's in Cuba. Cuba. I know. Well, when I saw this number, I said to myself, how on earth could these Cubans be number one in anything that means something? Well, they are. Now, what they did down in Cuba, and I don't know why they adopted this, but they adopted quarantine in Cuba. Quarantine. And quarantine comes from the Bible. Can you believe that? Yeah, I'm just telling you that way back in ancient times, you know, 3,000 years ago when Moses was running around on the earth, before Louis Pasteur discovered bacteria and germs, and before anybody invented the microscope to even see a germ, Moses was instructing us to put a bandage, a mask, over our mouths and noses. Why did he do that? How did Moses, 3,000 years ago, know anything about germs without a microscope? Huh? Now remember, I've told you that there's science in the Bible. The Bible is a science book. It's just full of science. Everywhere you go, there's science. And this is an example of science. Now, the way here in America we got control of tuberculosis and cholera and other infectious diseases was through the Public Health Service in New York City in the 1880s and 90s. And they started quarantining people. They'd get somebody with typhoid fever, and by God, they'd take that person, put them in a sanitarium, lock them up, to keep them away from the other healthy people in society. And by doing that, the incidence of infectious diseases just dropped off a cliff. Now, I know everybody's giving credit to vaccines and vaccinations. That's another story for another day, but I just wanted to point out that the germ theory was well known clear back in Moses' day. How was it known? Because it was revealed by God himself. No man knew anything about germs. Not that I know of. Did they have microscopes? Not that I know of, but I wouldn't put it past them. They might have had. In any event, they came up with this quarantine program here. It's in Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4. It's back here in the Old Testament. This is prohibited territory for you Christians. Now, don't you dare read Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4. Under fear of going to hell for all eternity. I often wondered about that. If you shouldn't read the Old Testament, what if I read it? Would I go to hell? Would God throw me into hell for reading the Scripture? No, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. He cited that from Deuteronomy 8:3. You'll read it in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Did Jesus give you a bad steer by referring you back to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3? Well, I'll leave it up to you to decide. The Eternal, this is Numbers 5 now, verses 1 through 4. The Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, you command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that has an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and they put them out without the camp, as the Eternal had spoken unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there's a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7. There's 7 statutes here on quarantine in the Bible. 7. Did you know that? You know, I couldn't make that up because that's, you know, more than I could dream up, but I just thought I'd point that out. Now, that's chapter in the doctrine section here, chapter 101, quarantine. It deals with infectious disease, bacterial infection, things like cholera, TB, and bubonic plague. If you'll practice the quarantine law, hey, listen, you don't need health insurance. Now, the Cubans down there adopted that. All the rest of the nations have adopted modern allopathic medicine. And we just got AIDS everywhere in the world. And you're going to have more and more of it as long as you practice allopathic medicine. Now, if at any time you get down to where you want to practice quarantine, like the Cubans do, then you can arrest it. You can arrest AIDS. Stop it. All right, just thought I'd point that out to you. Now, here's another one over here. Let's take another one over here called punishment. You know, there are punishments that come from the violation of law. And there is a doctrine that deals with this thing called punishment. And when you violate a law, then there has to be a punishment. And that's number 100 here. Let's see if I can find that quickly. Here, 99. I'm getting to it here. Here it is, punishment. Number 100. And remember I showed you here, God says that I'm going to punish you people over here. I'm gonna pay him to his face, this guy that hates me. The guy that won't practice my Sabbath. Now, you can make up excuses and say, well, I keep Sunday. Well, okay, well, there's seven elements to keeping the Sabbath. You can't work. You can't buy, sell, or trade. You can't kindle a fire on the Sabbath. A couple more here. You can't buy, sell, trade. Oh, forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I think there's one more. There's seven elements to keeping the Sabbath. If you did that on Sunday, you could probably carry the day. Here in America, from 1787 to 1950, we did not practice the Sabbath as a nation. Well, we didn't do it on the Sabbath day, Saturday. But we did keep the Sabbath. And when I was a child, the world stopped on Sunday. Now, we might have had the wrong day of the week, but we were keeping the Sabbath. I'm telling you, you couldn't buy a gallon of gas on Sunday in 1943 or 45 or 36. In fact, a couple of court cases came down in the 20s. The Jews sued over the Sabbath, and the Supreme Court said the Sabbath is on Sunday, and you Jews are going to keep the Sabbath on Sunday just like everybody else. In fact, the Jews had a choice. If you want to take Saturday off, that's your choice in life, but by God, you're going to take Sunday off. And that's the last word on that subject. That's the Supreme Court of the United States. That's before they got into secular humanism after World War II. Now, it happens that the Jews were correct and that the rest of us were all wrong, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, Jewish people are just going to have to get used to the fact that there's oppression that goes on out here in the world. It's always been that way. And it isn't going to stop anytime soon. So just, you know, sit back and relax, smell the coffee here. Same thing is true with those of us that want to practice the Ten Commandments today. I mean, if you practice the Ten Commandments and all of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, you are going to be ostracized by your family. That's number one. The worst enemies that a man has is those of his own household, his own family. And then it'll degenerate into your neighbors and friends. They'll all take a look at you and say, oh, that guy Gordon, he's a kook, he's a nut, he's a... And a guy said the other day, that guy Gordon's senile. Well, hell, I'm old, I never denied it, but senile? I don't know. I'll leave that for you to decide, but I have my doubts. Now, on this punishment thing over here, there's a number of punishments. In fact, there are 24 crimes that require the death penalty. God has sorted out murder, smiting of parents, kidnapping, cursing of parents, abortion, negligent property liability resulting in death, daylight shooting of a thief resulting in death, witchcraft, bestiality, idolatry, profaning the Sabbath, Sabbath breaking. Adultery, incest, sodomy, marriage of a man to both a mother and a daughter, or sexual relations with both a mother and daughter, blasphemy, false prophecy, reviling priests and judges, that's called contempt of court, perjury, that's false witness in regards to a capital crime, incorrigible delinquency, whoredom, rape, usury, and oppressing widows. Oppressing widows. All of those have the death penalty. Hell, we do those in this country, it's kind of like a sport. You know what I mean? Now, there's 29 different punishments. In addition to punishments like being burned, stoned, hanged, that's death. You could also be scourged, excommunicated, your hand cut off. You could die childless. The same as you did to him could be done to you. These are some of the penalties that we get. All right, I'm about out of time here, so I'm going to have to give you a reminder here, a final reminder, that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I'm going to have to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.